We're holding on Lamed Aleph Amud Beis at the bottom by the second Mishnah. As background for the next Mishnah and the Gemara on it, we need to know some basic dinim about what happens if a Zor eats Truma. So it's like this. First of all, in terms of chiyuv between him Benan and Lamakim, the rule is if a Zor eats Truma b'mezid, then he's chayiv misa b'dei shemayim. And if he eats it for shergig, then of course shergig is not punishable. Then you have though the part that's bein adam lachaveri. So it's like this: when a zor eats truma, on one level he's causing damage to the koyan. He's eating something that belonged to the koyan, no different than if you ate food that belonged to somebody else b'chlal. And then you have so what you have is like this: if the person does it b'mezid, then the Torah tells us that he just pays. Then there's no special rule about it. Basically, then we treat it like any other case of hezek. He has to pay the amount that he stole, and that's that. And he can pay it as usual with nezikin. You can pay it with whatever you want. You can pay with money. You can pay with shava kesef, etc. Then you have a special din the Torah talks about if a zor eats truma b'shogeg. So then what we do is he still has to pay, but what he has to pay in that case is not just the value of the truma, but an extra choymesh, an extra 25%. I saw an interesting idea on it. You know, we always talk about that the choymesh is a choymesh, throughout Shas, we're always talking about the choymesh is a choymesh milavar. In other words, what you do is the chomesh ends up being one fifth of the entire payment. So you ate $10 worth of truma, you're paying $12.50, and the $2.50 represents one fifth of the entire payment. Based on something that Rabbeinu Chananel says in this in the sugya over here, I saw an interesting idea that maybe what it is the Torah does expect you to pay a chomesh, which would be what we usually think of as a chomesh, 20%. But then you have to pay a chomesh of that chomesh and a chomesh of the chomesh of that chomesh and so forth. And if you calculate it, then it's an infinitely repeating series, of course, but the limit of it ends up being at chomesh milavar. So in other words, if the idea was you ate $10 worth of truma, and in principle, what you should be paying is $2, but you also need to consider that the $2 itself has a chomesh, which would be 40 cents, and the 40 cents itself has a chomesh, which would be 8 cents, and so on and so forth. And as you calculate it, you find that the extra payment does end up trending towards $2.50, which would be a chomesh of the original, which would be a chomesh of the total amount that you pay, the chomesh milavar, which is a quarter of the original amount. It's an interesting chap. Anyway, the point is that's when you eat truma b'shogeg, that's what you have to do. You ate $10 worth, you have to pay the koyan $12.50. And what you do is, in that case, the Torah tells us, as we're going to learn in the sugya, you don't pay him money or anything else. What you do is you give him produce of the same type that you ate, and that produce gets the din of truma. So you ate, for example, the Kohen had apples of truma, and he ate $10 worth of them, then you're giving him $12.50 worth of apples, and those apples become truma. Milavar means outside. So milavar means, in other words, that once we add the extra payment in this case, the chomesh being $2.50, once we add that to the original $10, so that the total is $12.50, $2.50 is one fifth of that total. That's chomesh milavar, as opposed to if we called it chomesh milagav, then it would mean one fifth of the original, which would be $2. Okay. So those are the basic differences then between a person eats truma b'shogeg and b'mezid. So again, there's the matter of that b'mezid there's misa b'dei shemayim and b'shogeg there's not. There's the matter of that b'mezid you pay only keren like any mazik, whereas b'shogeg you're paying keren v'chomesh. And there's the difference that b'mezid you're paying with anything you want that's worth that amount, whereas with shogeg you're paying davka with the type of produce that you ate, which then becomes truma. So that leads us now into the dinim that we're going to have in the Mishnah and the Gemara over here. The Mishnah says, "Ha'oichel trumas chometz for Pesach." If a person eats truma of chometz on Pesach, now we have to consider chometz itself is also ba'anah during Pesach. Chometz itself is also ba'anah during Pesach. So there's no real you can't really say that you caused the you can't really say that you caused the koyin a hezek. But nevertheless, b'shogeg mishalem keren b'chomish. Oh, one other difference I forgot to mention, actually, in this connection about that you're using, that you're, that b'shogeg, that you're paying with fruit instead of, with the same type of produce instead of with money. Another difference, as we're going to see in the Gemara, is that you pay, that we're going to discuss in the Gemara, that you pay the actual size of the food that you ate. Meaning, in other words, you don't just go by the value. You have to consider the amount. It was a pound of apples. Then you have to pay a pound of apples. The price went down. So we'll see in the Gemara what happens if prices go up and down. So if the person ate the truma b'shogeg, now Rashi points out we don't care for this purpose about whether he was shogeg or mezid about the isu chametz. That's going to factor in the Gemara later according to one way of understanding our Mishnah. But the poshet pshat in the Mishnah and what we're going to be using throughout most of the sugya is that as far as chametz, we don't care whether he was shogeg or mezid. We're focusing strictly on the question of on the truma side of it. So on the truma side of it, he was shogeg. So even though the chametz is not worth anything during Pesach, but you still have, he has to give him davar haroi lias kodesh. He has to give him. So therefore, he's not paying based on the value. He's paying based on the amount. So therefore, we don't care that it doesn't have any value. The fact is, it has an amount, and it was a pound that he ate. Therefore, he has to pay a pound. So he has to pay that plus the chomish. B'mezid, on the other hand, if he ate the trum of mezid, where then it's just a regular case of hezek, well then it doesn't. Then he's potter mitashlumim umid mei eitzim. Then he's potter from paying because the chometz at this point has no value. The kohen can't eat it. He's also potter even from the value of how much it would have been worth for firewood because truma. Now what it is truma, after all, when the truma is tome, the kohen could use it for firewood. But again, over here, because it's bemazid, the tashlumin is not coming for kapara like it is for shogeg. It's just a regular case of mazik. So then we have to see, does the thing have any value? Right now, this is chometz for Pesach. It has no value. The kohen can't eat it. The kohen can't even use it for firewood because we learned before that chometz is also b'hana. The lo yasik v'tanu v'chirayim. We said at the beginning of the perek, you're not allowed to use it to fire up an oven or a stove. And we even talked about that if you do the food you bake there, it might be osir. No, you don't say that you give it to it because right now during Pesach, now there is, we've talked about before about the idea of Dovah Gom Lamomen Kamomen Dami. So apparently our Mishnah would be going according to the opinion that it's Gom Lamomen. Right now it's not worth anything. But that's the thing. Remember also, it's more than that actually. We said before, it's not even that. Chometz over all of our Pesach is also Bahana, remember? According to Rabbi Yehuda Daraisa, according to Rabbi Shimon, because of a knas. So this chometz that the Kohen had in his possession during Pesach, after Pesach, he's not going to be. It's going to be also b'hanah to him anyway. So even that's not even a dover agum l'momen because right now it has no value, and in the future it's also not going to have any value. Once he finds it, he's going to have to burn it, and he can't use it for firewood at that point. So as for, in the case of b'shogeg, yeah, he could wait till after Pesach, and it doesn't really matter. It's not a matter of he's not paying for the gzela. There he's paying for kapara. So he has to give the same kind of produce, right? I mean, he could do it during Pesach itself. He ate bread of turma, so instead he can give the kohen wheat and then Pesach dik wheat, or he can wait till after Pesach and give him and then give him wheat. That's neither here nor there. But b'mezid, we're saying that the chometz itself right now has no value. So b'shogeg, obviously, it has no value either. But b'shogeg, we don't care about the value of it. We care about the volume of it. We care about the amount of chometz. And he needs his kapara, and therefore he still needs to pay an equivalent volume of chometz plus the chomesh in order to get his kapara. So the Gemara starts off with a side issue regarding truma, establishing what the rules are as far as when a person eats truma b'shogeg. And then from that, we're going to get back to our Mishnah and see how our Mishnah fits with it. The Gemara says, Tanan Hossam, we learn in a Mishnah in Masechta Trumas, If a zor eats truma b'shoigig, mishalem keren v'chomish, then he pays the keren v'chomish, like we said. Echad oichol ve'echad ashoisa. This applies whether he ate the truma or drank it. We mean, for example, let's say it was wine of truma and he drank it. There is, by the way, a concept that if he's eating the food in a way which is mazik, then we don't necessarily apply these same rules. So if it was oil, for example, he drank it. We learned all the way back in Brachas, it's not normal to drink oil, and it's not beneficial for you. So then maybe not, unless you have the case over there where he mixed in the oil with a nigra and some other like beet juice or whatever and drank it because he has a sore throat or something. So the in the normal case, the kind of drinking we'd be talking about over here would be that he drank wine of turma. Anyway, ve'echad asoch, or whether he took the oil and smeared it on his skin, because in general we have throughout the Torah sicha kishsia, smearing something on the skin is the equivalent of drinking. We have it in Yom Kippur, for example. You're not allowed to eat and drink, and you're also not allowed to smear ointments and creams and whatever on your skin, etc. Now, the point is, Rashi says this kiyoichol prat lamazik, which we're going to learn later on in the sugya, means, let's say, for example, he didn't know it was truma, and instead he took it and threw it in the garbage or threw it in the river or whatever. Then we wouldn't say all these rules. Then it would just be like a regular mazik, and he's just paying keren, and in the case of chametz Pesach, he's not paying anything. Davka, when he eats or drinks or smears it on his skin, which there the pasuk says on it, kiyoichol kodesh b'shgaga, that's when we have the gzeres hakasev that he's paying the keren. So echad truma, and the Mishnah continues, echad truma tmeya ve'echad truma tahora, whether the truma that he ate was tomei or tahor truma which the kohen could have eaten, or tomei truma which the kohen could have burnt for firewood. Either way, mishalem choymish, then he's paying a choymish, v'chumsha d'chumsha, and he's paying a choymish on top of the choymish. Now again, Rashi says what that means is that let's say, for example, so again, in our scenario before here, let's use rounder numbers so we don't have to use fractions. He ate $8 worth of truma. We're saying he has to pay an extra 25%. So in that case, 25% of $8 is $2. What happens if after giving what? So again, we're saying he's giving the kohen $10 worth of produce, and now that becomes truma. What would happen if then he took that extra $2 worth and ate that b'shegig? That has the din of truma. Once he gave it to the kohen, it becomes truma. Therefore, if he ate that, he would be paying a chomesh. He would be paying $2 plus the chomesh of that, and so forth. That's what we mean, chomesha de chomesha, that he's paying, if necessary, a chomesh on top of a chomesh if he accidentally eats the chomesh. Again, from Rabbeinu Chananel, it seems that maybe what he says is bechlal, that you're paying a chomesh plus a chomesh of a chomesh, and altogether it ends up equaling up a chomesh melavat. Anyway, the point is, so that's the Mishnah. So the Mishnah gives us the basic ideas. In other words, it only applies if it's b'shogeg. It only applies if you ate it or drank it or smeared it, all of which are considered parts of eating, and it doesn't matter whether the truma was tamar or tahor, and you're paying the chomesh. So now, Iboyolahu. So now the Chachamim had a question. Since when it comes to Beshogig, the Torah is telling you that you pay with fruit, you don't pay with money. So now the question is, Kshu Mashalim, Lafi Midah Mashalim, or Lafi Domim Mashalim? Does he pay according to the volume of the Truma that he ate? Meaning, because since the Torah is showing us that it's different than the regular case, usually you can pay for a gzela with anything you want, Shava Kesef Afilu Subin. Here, on the other hand, you can pay even with bran when it comes to any other kind of hezek. Only over here is the Torah telling you have to pay with this particular kind of fruit. So therefore, maybe you don't go according to the value at all. You just go lafi midya, you go according to the size of the truma. Or lafi domim mishalim, or do you still pay based on the value of the truma? So the Gemara says, kol heichad me'ikra shavya arba zuzi, in a case where, let's say, what he ate was originally worth 4 zuzim, all of a soif shavya zuza, and later on, when he comes to pay, that the prices went down, and that amount of fruit is worth only a zuz, loiti boilach, then there's no question that he has to pay the larger amount, devadik in the me'ikra mishalim, then for sure he has to pay according to the amount that he ate to begin with, lefid damim, which is according to the value, delay gora mi gazlam, because after all, After all, the guy, after all, he's still not, we still can't treat him less stringently than a Goslin. Yes, he did it for Shogig, and we're saying the Torah gives him special rules, but after all, you also have to consider the fact is he was also a Goslin at the same time. And the rule by Gzela is the Tnan Kol HaGazlonin Meshamen Keshas HaGzela. The rule is that a Goslin pays according to how much the thing was worth at the time of the Gezel. So no question in that case, he's paying according to the higher price, because here you have both then. You have the special din of Truma, and you have the regular din of Gezel, and therefore we have to say that. The question is, Kiti Boiloch, the question would be the other way around. Suppose that when he ate the Truma, that amount of food, he ate a pound of fruit, let's say, and it was worth only a Zuz, although a Seif Shavya Arba, later on when he comes time to pay, a pound of fruit costs 4 Zuzim, mice. And now the question is, Lafi Midim Mishalim, does he still have to pay based on the pound, and therefore it's going to be he's paying, it's worth a lot more? Da'amale Griva Ochol Griva Mishalim, we tell him you ate a Griva, which is a Sa, therefore, griva mishalim, therefore you have to pay back a sah, a dumal if he dumma mishalim, or maybe you go according to the value, bezuza ocha bezuza mishalim. After all, he ate a zuza's worth, so he only has to pay back a zuza's worth. Yes, the Torah is makbid that he has to pay with fruit, but maybe the Torah only cares. It still doesn't have to be different than any other tashlumim. So he pays with fruit, so he pays with fruit, and that's that. The same dollar amount, right. Actually, the Rabbi Akiva Eger in Gilyon HaShas over here asks that still you could ask, let's say, in the first case where you're telling me that he has to pay 4 zuzim worth, but maybe you could argue that since originally that amount was worth only a zuz, maybe you would still, or the other way around, we said where it was worth 4 zuzim and now it's worth a zuz, maybe you would tell him, okay, you have to pay 4 zuzim worth, but given that only one zuz of that represents the amount that you ate, maybe only that he'd be obligated to pay in payrus. Maybe the rest of it he'd be able to pay in money. The rest of it also, the din is when he did it b'mezid, or when you don't have the rule of keren v'chomesh. Another difference is that the koyin can be moichel, same way as any case. So Reuven steals from Shimon. Shimon wants to be moichel, then he can do that. In this case, where it's shogeg and he has to pay keren v'chomesh, which is for kapara, there the koyin can't be moichel. It's not a matter of it's not yours to be moichel. The guy needs a kapara. But over here, Rabbi Akiva Eger asks, in the first case that we're talking about over here in the Gemara, where he ate a pound of fruit and it was worth 4 zuz, now when he comes to pay, a pound costs only 1 zuz, maybe we would say, fine, he has to pay 4 zuz in worth, but maybe then he's only required to pay 1 pound of that in fruit, and the koyan can't be moichel on that. And the rest of it, well, once he takes care of the chomish as well, the rest of it, maybe he could pay with money or other kinds of shava kesef or whatever, and the koyan can be moichel on that. Why is the Gemara not mentioning that detail? So different achronim talk about different angles on it. One idea is, I think the Sfas Emes says, is that what the Torah is doing now from what Rashi is saying over here, it seems that you have this still, even when we say it's Mishum Kapara, because the guy is Shogig, we're also still applying the usual rules of paying for Gzela. But the Sfas Emes wants to say that basically the Torah is, in the case of Shogig, is kind of rewriting the rules of paying for Gzela. So in other words, it's like we have in the Braise of Rabbi Shmuel, Yotza Lidin Medava Chodosh Iyata Yochalach Zira Lachlalai Ad Sheikh Zirna Kosov Lachlalai Beferush. So in other words, here, usually the Torah tells us you steal something, you pay the actual value of it, no more, and you can pay it with whatever you want, kesef or shava kesef. Here, what the Torah is doing is it's replacing that with a separate set of rules, says the Sfas Emes, that you have to pay only in produce, and you have to pay keren v'chomesh, and so forth. So therefore we could potentially use that to answer Rabbi Akiva Eger's question, that the answer would be, nevertheless, since the Torah is rewriting the rules and telling you that you have to pay the keren v'chomesh with payrus, then therefore that would mean the whole payment now, though in this case where you're paying 4 zuz instead of 1 zuz, yes, the whole payment would follow those rules and would all have to be produce, and the koyin can't be moichel on any of it, etc. And therefore the Gemara doesn't bother mentioning that point. That's the point. The koyin can't be moichel on shogeg, but mazid could, because mazid, the guy is a regular mazdik. No, because that's the thing. When it's made, no, as far we're not talking about the misavid ishmaim. We're talking about the angle, the beinodom lachavere part of it. The fact that you have to pay the kohen, the fact that you ate a pound of his food, and you have to pay back. You have to pay him back food. You have to pay him back. That's just a regular case of gzela. When it was bemezid, it's just a regular case of gezel. So a regular case of gezel, the guy could be meichel if he wants, and you don't have to pay him dafka with some particular kind of produce. You can be meichel on the whole gzela, sure. Same way as if Reuven steals a dollar from Shimon can be meichel on it, right? Because shogeg is gzeres hakosov that he has to have kapara. It's not just a matter of ben adam lachaveira. It's a matter of ben adam lamokum that he needs kapara. Yeah. Okay, so that's the question again. So when he ate the truma, it was worth less. Now when he comes back, now when he comes to pay, it's worth more. Does he have to pay the larger amount, or does he just have to pay a sa? And then you just say, well, no, not just actually, it comes out of chumra. Then if we say he has to pay a sa, then it means he's paying something which now is worth 4 zuzim, even though when he ate it was worth only a zuz, right? So Amar Rabbi Yosef Toshma, let's prove from a Braisa. Ocho groigris v'shilim loytmarim. Suppose that the Tzar ate dried figs of Truma and he paid him back with fresh figs. Tovay ala bracha, then a bracha should come on him. So let's consider. Iyamet v'shleim lefi midim v'shalim. If you say that he pays based on the weight of what he ate, well, then I'm tula hochi tovei ala bracha. Then we understand why he gets a bracha. De ocho griva de gregris, he ate a certain measure of dried figs, the shavya zuza, which is worth only a zuz, because yoiv griva de tmarim, the shavya abra, instead he's paying back with fresh figs, which are worth 4 zuz. So he's giving the koyan much more than he lost, so therefore tovei ala bracha. Not so much because they weigh more, because fresh figs are worth more because you can sell them more, because more people want to buy them. Not everybody wants to buy dried figs. More people want to buy fresh. More people want to buy fresh figs. Or not figs, dates rather. More people want to buy fresh dates rather than dried ones, as the Gemara is going to say in a second. So therefore, they're worth more. But if you say that you go according to the value of it anyway, then what's the tovei ala bracha? He ate a zuz's worth. He's paying a zuz's worth. He's not giving anything extra that he didn't have to. So what's the tovei ala bracha? Abai says that's not a valid proof. You could actually answer that he does pay lefi damim. By my tovei ala bracha. So in what sense is there a tovei ala bracha? What did he do extra? The ochel midi de like kofetz alei zvine, because what he ate was dried figs, which are not as easily saleable. Not as many people want to buy them. The kamashalim midi de kofetz alei zvine. Instead, he's paying back with something which is more likely to be saleable. In other words, after all, when the kohen gets back this keren v'chomish of dates in this case, is he going to want to eat all those dates himself? Laf dafka, he may want to find other kohenim and sell it to them. So therefore, by giving him something which it's more easy for him, which it's easier for him to sell, it's easier for him to find customers for, then tovei ala bracha, that you now made it easier for the kohen to do something with it. But still, we could say you're still paying him the same dollar amount. They would. The point of drying food was to make it last longer. But nevertheless, you may not want to buy figs that have already been, or dates rather, that have already been dried. You may want to buy them fresh, and you have the choice now. I can eat them fresh, or I can dry them if I choose to. Okay. So there's no proof from that one way or the other yet, whether we pay lefi mida based on the amount, or lefi damim based on the dollar value. So now comes our Mishnah, Tnan, ha'oichel trumas chometz for Pesach. We said if a person eats truma of chometz on Pesach, b'shoigig mishalom keren v'chomish, if he did it b'shoigig, then he's paying the keren v'chomish. So, i'amet b'shleim lefi midah mishalom, if you say that the person in general is paying b'shoigig, that he's paying according to the amount of the truma, the size of the truma, shapir, okay, he ate a certain size of bread of truma, therefore he's paying back an equivalent size, so good, shapir. But if he says he's supposed to be paying according to the value, chometz on Pesach by domim who? Does chometz on Pesach have any dollar value? The whole point is it's also banah. So obviously, therefore, the Mishnah is teaching us, incidentally, that you pay lefi midah. The answer is not necessarily ein. Yes, you could say that actually maybe the truma does have value during Pesach because Hamani Rabbi Yosi Aglili, because we could say our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Yosi Aglili, which we learned a couple of times, the chametz of Pesach mutar b'hana. He says that chametz during Pesach is mutar b'hana. The Kohen obviously can't eat it, but he could use it for firewood even during Pesach, we learned before, Rabbi Yosi Aglili holds. So therefore the chametz does have a dollar value. Because after what? Because what's the difference between hektish? You ask him. In hektish, nobody can eat until you poured it from hektish. Chametz, truma of chametz, the truma, the kohen can eat. So the kohen has to put it away for Pesach. But when and if he's not, he's over on Bal Yudah Bal Yimotze. It belongs to him. The Yisrael who ate it. No. The point is, why did the Yisrael not realize? The Yisrael should have realized. You don't just go into somebody's pantry and take out food without permission. But he did, not realizing that it was truma. I don't know, man. You could imagine a case easily enough. You know, you have a yid as a guest by a kohen, for example, and you know, one night he wakes up in the middle of the night and decides he wants a midnight snack, so he goes and takes something and doesn't realize that A, it's truma, and B, it's chametz. So whatever the case, the point is, according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, that chametz was mutar b'hana to the kohen during Pesach. He could have used it for firewood. So therefore, you actually caused him a hezek.
Israel, who ate it, if it was in his house, I'd say it wasn't worth anything. It was chametz.
That's fine. If the Israel had it in his house, it wouldn't be worth anything. But because the kohen has it in his house, it is worth something. So therefore, you could say, so that might be why he has to pay. The question is, if you're going to say the Mishnah is like Rabbi Yosi Aglili, then look at the next part. That we said that if he eats the truma b'mezid, then he's potter from paying. Both he's potter from paying with the value of the truma itself. He's even potter for paying for the value of it as firewood. Now, according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, why should he be potter? Again, according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, the chametz is mutar b'hana. So even if he ate it b'mezid, fine. So we don't have the special rules that you do for paying b'shogeg, but you still have the regular rules of mazik, which say that if I was mazik something of yours, then I need to pay back an equivalent amount. Fine, kesef, shava kesef, fine. That detail doesn't matter. But the point is, according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, this chametz has value because it can be used for firewood during Pesach. Or for that matter, we could keep it. If he keeps it till after Pesach, then it'll be mutar b'hana. We said the osa b'hana after Pesach, we said, was only according to Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Yosi Aglili. According to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbi Yehuda, d'oraisa, according to Rabbi Shimon, is a knas midrabanan. But according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, it would be mutar after Pesach. It would be mutar after Pesach, papashtus, even to eat. And then b'hana, even during Pesach. So it has value. So why should he be potter from Tashlumin from Dmeitzim? The answer is because you could say Savolak Rab Nechuni ben Akana. You could say that Rab Yosi Aglili. So in other words, Rashi teaches out the question. If you say the Mishnah is according to the Chachamim, and the reason why in the Reisha he's potter is because Lafi Mida Meshalim, then again, in the Sefer he's Mezid. For sure he's not paying Lafi Mida. For sure he's paying Lafi Damim. No question about that. And Chometz during Pesach has no Damim, therefore he's potter. But according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, and you're saying in both the Reisha and the Sefer, he's supposed to be paying Lafi Damim. So why in the Reisha are we saying it has Damim, and in the Sefer it doesn't? In both cases, it's Chometz during Pesach. So the answer is Savalak Rab Nechuni ben Akana. We could answer that Rabbi Yosi Aglili holds like Rab Nechuni ben Akana. The Tanya, we learned this a few days ago. Rab Nechuni ben Akana haya oisa es yem kippurim kashabas tashlumin v'chola. That Rab Nechuni ben Akana said that yem kippur is just like Shabbos regarding tashlumin. In other words, that the concept of komle b'dirabamine, where we say that if a person did something which is mechayiv him mammon and also misa, then misa's based in, then we say komle b'dirabamine, and he just gets the misa's based in and doesn't have to pay. Chunya ben Akana applies the same thing to Kores as well. So the same way, for example, as we said the other day, the same way as if a person burns somebody else's stack of grain on Shabbos, then he's potter for the hezek because he's mischayev benafshoy. He's chayev skila for breaking Shabbos. So therefore he's potter from tashlumin. Rabbi Chunya ben Akana would say the same thing would also be true if he lit it on fire on Yom Kippur where there's no mitzvah based in, there's only Kores. Again, as we said the other day, Rashi mentions it over here, that he learns it from the word that you have in last week's and this week's parasha, Pen Yikra'enu Osain, The word osin means any kind of death, including, for example, yeah, by Binyamin. There's no Mrs. Bastin involved. There might be Mrs. Bidei Shemayim. He might die unexpectedly on the way, and the Pasuk is calling it osin, and you learn from that a person is potter from Tashlumin, even for such a type of osin. So therefore, in other words, in the sefer, why is he potter? Is because he was mazed on the truma and not so there's actually two possibilities. There could be that he was mazed on the truma and that he was mazed on the chametz, where there is chayiv koris for the chametz. You could also have even where he was shogig on the chametz and he's potter and there's no koris, but there is also misas based in. Actually, you have a machloikas elsewhere in the Gemara, whether Rav Nachuni ben Akona's din, would he say it about Kores only, about Mrs. Bastin and Kores, or would he also apply it to Mrs. Bidei Shemayim? But, Mazed, we're talking about. Again, so we're talking about he was Mazed on the Truma. So therefore, for sure, he's getting Mrs. Bidei Shemayim for the Truma. So now, in the sefer, why are we saying he's potter? Because he was mazed on the truma, and even if he wasn't mazed on the chametz. So therefore, but nevertheless, since chametz, so in other words, it doesn't really matter whether he was shogeg on the chametz or whether he was mazed on the chametz. Either way, there is an isur kares involved over here. Actually, we talked about the other day. So when we say that kumle b'dirabamine, does that apply only if he's actually chayiv the mitzvahs based in, or the kares as the case may be, or is it even enough that potentially he's chayiv the mitzvahs based in, or the kares, even though in this particular case he's not actually chayiv it because it was b'shogeg? So Rashi over here mentions that. The Mishnah is telling us like this. In the Reisha, again, he's shogeg on both of them. The fact is, therefore, that according to Rabbi Yosef Aglili, the chometz has monetary value because it is mutar b'hanah during Pesach. So therefore, he's paying keren b'chomesh. In the Sefer, the Mishnah wants to tell us, as long as he was mazed on the truma, where then he's chayev misa b'dei shemayim, we don't care whether he was shogeg or mazed about the chometz angle of it. Because the fact that he ate the truma b'mezid makes him chayev misa b'dei shemayim. Therefore he's potter from paying, because based on Rav Nachman ben Akona, we would say kam le b'dirabamine. Even though he's, well, that doesn't matter. But the point is, he is chayev misa now for having eaten truma b'mezid, and therefore he's chayev misa b'dei shemayim, and therefore that's reason enough to potter him from tashlumin. But that requires us to say that Rabbi Yosef. So we could say the whole Mishnah works according to Rabbi Yosef, really. But it would require us to also say that he holds like Rav Nachman ben Akona in how we define kamalei b'dirabamine, that it applies not only to Mrs. Bastin and not only to kares, but also to Mrs. B'dei Shemayim. Rashi points out the reason why we have to say that is because otherwise, if we said that we're focusing on the kores angle, then we don't really need to talk about truma at all. Then we could just be talking about a person eats somebody else's chametz b'shogeg versus b'mezid. And because b'mezid, if he's mezid on the chametz, he's chayiv kores. Therefore, Rashi says, the Mishnah is talking about both cases, both parts of the Mishnah, he's shogeg on the chametz. So there's no kores involved as far as eating the chametz. The question is only, is there misa b'dei shemayim for the truma, right? It's worth much less. Fine, if you say that it's only multibana, fine. Maybe you should be able to pay back less. But the point is, you should still have to pay back something, right? Okay. So we had this matter of Rav Nachman ben Akona a few days ago, and actually Tosfos discussed it over there. That one part of the discussion is actually when we say kam le b'dirabamine, does that mean only when he's actually chayiv misa, or even only when he's potentially chayiv misa? So in other words, does it have to be that he's mazed on the thing? So actually, there's something else over there. Actually, Tosfos discusses that when we say, okay, so what do you have over here? That uh, that that uh, That but by missa where the Torah tells that so okay there's a difference between missa and kodesh. Tosfos discusses over there, so over there he's potter so over there he's potter from tashlumin because of missa de truma. So why would he be potter because of kodesh of chametz? So then Tosfos mentions this idea about the tashlumin meaning being mishum kapara, so there's a difference whether he was shogig or mazed on the truma. Okay, I probably shouldn't have mentioned it because I wasn't quite clear on it myself. All right, anyway, fine. Onward. The Gemara says, Kitanoi. This question of whether you have to pay truma, lefi midor, or lefi domim, is actually the subject of a machloikas tanoim. A Mishnah says, actually a Braisa, ha'oichot trumas chometz v'pesach, potem enat ha'shlumin v'nmei etzim divir Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, like our Mishnah, that if a person eats trumas chometz on Pesach, he's potter from paying, he's potter from dmei etzim. Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri mechayev, Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri says he's chayev. Because it was a bepashtus, it's because one is domim and one is midah. So again, Rabbi Yechon and Nuri would be saying that he's paying based on midah. Oh, actually, no. The Rabbi Akiva is actually not like our Mishnah because B'pashtos we're talking about over here. He ate it b'shoigig, and so that's the thing. We have to figure out whether we're talking about over here shoigig or mezid. But okay, the point is that so Rabbi Akiva says he's potter, and Rabbi Yechon and Nuri is saying he's chayev. The Braisa continues. Amalei Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yechon and Nuri, v'chima hano yesh leba. What hana could the koyin would actually see? Yeah, Rashi says we're talking about whether shogeg or mezid. The machlokas Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri would be in both cases. So not like our Mishnah, which distinguishes between them, but rather you'd have Rabbi Akiva holds he's chayev in both cases, and he's potter in both cases, and Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri says he's chayev in both cases. So Rabbi Akiva asked Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri, "V'chima hana yesh leba? What hana is the koyin able to get out of this truma that you should say that he should be chayev to pay? It's also hana." So Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri answers back, Nu, you could ask the same question. And throughout the rest of the year, if the Zora ate Truma Tmeya, what Hana could the Kohen have gotten out of this Truma Tmeya that you should make him pay? You can't eat Truma Tmeya after all. Well, that's the answer. Amaloi. So he says, Loi, yeah, that's not a valid comparison. Ima Marta, but Truma Tmei, Bashayi Mesashana. Yeah, but you know why? He's Chayev for Truma Tmei the rest of the year. Sha'afa Pisha in Laba Heter Achila. Even though the Zor is not allowed to eat, the Koyan is not allowed to eat the Truma, Yeshle Ba Heter Asaka, he is able to burn it as firewood. Toma Bazesha in Laba Heter Achila Bala Heter Asaka. Yeah, but that's Truma Tmeya, right? You can burn for light, but during Pesach, Chometz is still going to be also Hana, according to everybody except Rabbi Yisrael Glili. So therefore, continues Rabbi Akiva, Hol Mazed Doime. So what would this be like? That the question of whether he has to pay back, it would be, imagine the rest of the year, Trumas Trusim Ba'anovim, imagine you have Truma of berries or of grapes, shenitma, where those berries or grapes became tomei, and you can't burn them because they're liquid. So it sounds like Rashi is saying that you're talking about that you squeeze the berries or the grapes to make juice. It could also be that Rashi is talking about not even you squeeze them, but just the fact they themselves are very juicy fruits. You're not going to be able to burn them. So if it becomes tameh, he doesn't have the ability to eat them. He doesn't have the ability to burn them because they're a mashke. You can't even, as we learned at the end of the first perek, in theory, you could use it for ziluf. You could use it to spray around your house to give it a nice fragrance. But we said over there that you're not supposed to do that mishum takola because you're gonna keep it in a barrel for a while and you may forget that it's truma tameh and drink it. So therefore, there's nothing you can do with it at all. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva is saying, Rabbi Akiva is saying, in that case, you would be potter even during the year. By the same logic, chometz during Pesach, you'd also be potter. Because either way, there's nothing that the Kohen can do with it. So if you put them, we said you wouldn't want to put it in a dirty keli because then it's going to lose its fragrance. The whole point is you want it to give a nice fragrance in the house. Yeah. As opposed to oil, you're burning in a lamp. You don't care whether it smells good or not. Yeah. So the bottom line is, Rabbi Akiva is saying that any time that the truma has no value to the Kohen, then you don't have to pay. Now, that would be in the case of Chometz of Pesach. It would also be with berries and grapes throughout the year if they became Tomei, whereas Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri would hold that in all those cases he's Chayev, which means, in other words, Rabbi Akiva is holding, therefore, that you go according to the value, Lefi Domim Meshalim, and Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri would be saying that you pay according to the size of it, Lefi Midim Meshalim. So therefore, so that so the question that we had earlier in the sugya, whether you pay lefi midah or lefi damim, we see that it depends on this machlokas tanoim. So according to Rabbi Akiva, you'd be potter because you go according to damim, and there's no damim. Chametz Pesach is also bahana. The grapes and the berries, practically speaking, there's nothing you can do with. And according to Rabbi Yechonon Nuri, you'd be chayv. Continues the Braisa, b'med varam amurim, when is all this talking about? B'mafish truma v'hechmitza. If you separated truma, and then later on it became chametz. So in other words, that's the case where, or for that matter, if you separated it as truma before Pesach, already as chametz. Then already we can say it had the kedusha of truma, but now it's also bahana. So we can be talking about whether you pay for it or not, according to Rabbi Akiva or Rabbi Yechonon Nuri. Ava mafish trumas chametz. But if he separated out truma of chametz during Pesach itself, for example, let's say you had wheat that became chametz. We're going to learn in a few days that if wheat becomes wet. That if wheat becomes wet to a certain extent, then it becomes chametz. So let's say you had wheat like that became wet and became chametz, and then you separated out truma from that during Pesach. Divrei Hakol, in Kedusha, everybody, even Rabbi Yisrael Gwili, who allows chametz of Pesach Bano, would say that it doesn't have kodesh, that it doesn't have kedusha. So no, it's not even a matter of paying. It's a matter of that this that he separated out as truma is not even valid truma. So if a Zohar eats it, he's not paying for it any like Truma. He'd just be paying for it like a regular case of Hezek. Shogeg Gomez it as the case may be. Later on Daf Lamed Gimel, the Gemara will explain why that would be. Why would we say that if he's separating out Chometz on Pesach itself, why wouldn't it become Truma? We'll see that later on in the Sugya on Daf Lamed Gimel. We'll discuss that point over there, yeah. Okay, fine. So we see anyway that it's machlok this Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yechonon Nuri whether if a person eats trumas chametz on Pesach, whether he's paying or not. Since we're saying the machlok applies to both shogeg and mezid, that means that the argument between them is, are you paying lefi midah or lefi damim? Rabbi Akiva says you're paying lefi damim, therefore you're potter, because it has no damim. Rabbi Yechonon Nuri is saying you pay lefi midah and it has a midah even during Pesach. We learn in another braisa on the subject. The pasuk says, "V'nasa makoyin es hakodesh," that he should give the kohen when he ate truma b'shogeg, he gives the kohen the kodesh, meaning davar haroy lias kodesh. He has to give the kohen something that's able to become kodesh. Like we said before, he has to give him fruit. So he doesn't give him money; he gives him fruit, and that fruit becomes kodesh, becomes truma. Prat la'oichel trumas chametz for Pesach. That means the Torah is telling us, as opposed to if a person ate trumas chametz for Pesach, if he were to pay it now during Pesach, we just said that if you mafish truma of chametz during Pesach, then it's not chal. So therefore, it means to exempt him from paying if he ate chametz for Pesach. Shapotim in atashlumim or when may eats him, so he's potter from paying for the value of it and even for the value of it as firewood. Divir Rabbi Elazar ben Yakim. On the other hand, Rabbi Elazar Chisma, we have at the end of Gimel Pirkei Avos, he's the one who says Kinnin Pischinida Hein Gufay Halachos. Yeah, he's not mentioned that often in Shas, but yeah. So he says Chayev. Amalei Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov l'Rabbi Elazar Chisma. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov asks again, like Rabbi Akiva asked Rabbi Yechonon Nuri, V'chima Hanah Yesh Leba. What Hanah is the Kohen able to get out of the struma that you should be Mechayev in for it? Same question as before. New, and you could ask, what hana does the koyin get out of truma tmeya the rest of the year? Amaloy, and then Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, like Rabbi Akiva did, even though he can't eat it, yeshle b'heter hasaka, but he has the ability to burn it for firewood. Over here also, he can't eat and he can't burn it. So here, Rabbi Elazar Chisma answers, there is actually, here also there is a heter to burn it, not really, because with this also, he could feed it to a dog, or he could burn it for firewood. Now, what do you mean? Well, I thought we just said chametz for Pesach is osa b'hana. No, forget about berries. Now we're not talking about that. We're talking about trumas chametz for Pesach. Rabbi Lozer Chisma holds that chametz for Pesach is mutar b'hana like Rabbi Yisrael Glili. So therefore, he's saying that you do have hana from it. So Amar Abaya, points out Rabbi Lozer ben Yaakov, Vira Bakiva, Vira B'yechim and Nuri. Three out of the four tanoim that we mentioned in this connection, kulus virulahu chametz for Pesach osa b'hana. They all hold chametz pesach as osa b'hana. In other words, in the machlokas of Rabbi Lozer, in the second machlokas of Rabbi Lozer ben Yaakov and Rabbi Lozer Chisma, they're arguing whether chametz pesach is mutar b'hana or not. Rabbi Lozer ben Yaakov says no. Therefore, he says the kohen has no possible hana from it at all. So, what are you paying for? As opposed to Rabbi Lozer Chisma says it does have value. Therefore, you have to pay based on the value, because you could have used it for animal food or for firewood. Then right, but you're allowed to feed your own animal, exactly. But in the first machloikas, the point is, Abaya wants us to realize in the first machloikas of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yechon Anuri, it's not that they're arguing whether chametz pesach is osa b'hana or muta b'hana. Rather, they're arguing over the question of lafi damim mishalim or lafi midim mishalim. They both agree that it has no damim because it's osa b'hana, but Rabbi Yechon Anuri is saying you still have to pay because you're paying lafi midah anyway, and we don't care whether it has a value. So overhaul pligi. So that's the machlokas. The Rabbi Akiva sava lafi damim mishalim. The Rabbi Yechim and Nuri sava lafi midim mishalim. So that's the machlokas. Just whether you're paying according to damim or according to midah. So the question is pshita. Obviously we said before. That's what Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yechim and Nuri are talking about. That's what we said. Ketanoi. The answer is maud tema. No, because you could have thought otherwise. You could say Rabbi Yechim and Nuri nami k'Rabbi Akiva svirale damim lafi damim mishalim. Maybe Rabbi Yechim and Nuri agrees with Rabbi Akiva that you pay according to the damim. V'hasam haino tema to come mechayev. The reason why Rabbi Yechim and Nuri would be mechayev mishum de savala k'Rabbi Yisrael Glili damim chametz pesach mutar b'hana, because maybe like Rabbi Yisrael Glili says chametz pesach is mutar b'hana, therefore it has damim. So it wouldn't be an argument whether you're paying according to midah or damim. We're saying you're definitely paying according to damim, but does this have damim or not? Rabbi Akiva would say no, because it's also b'hana. Rabbi Yechon Anuri hypothetically might be saying yes, because it's mutar b'hana. Rabbi Abaya wants you to know it's not like that. Kamash Malan, that is why Abaya wants to stress that three out of the four tanoim that we were just talking about say that chametz pesach is also b'hana. One of them being Rabbi Yechon Anuri. So he's not arguing with Rabbi Akiva whether the chametz pesach is mutar b'hana or not. He's arguing, he's saying that since you're paying lafi midah, then it doesn't matter whether it has a value or not. You're paying according to the size of the chametz that you ate anyway. You're according to the size of the terumah that you ate anyway. So therefore, you're just paying that even though it has no value. So what it is you pay, again, you could pay him after Pesach, you could pay him, let's say, with produce of the same time, which is Pesach dik, yeah. Okay, so the Gemara says, V'eima hochi nami, how does Abaya know that? Maybe Taker, Rabbi Yechon and Nuri and Rabbi Akiva are having the same argument as Rabbi Lezer and Yaakov and Rabbi Lezer Chisma, and one holds it's also b'hana and one holds it's mutar b'hana. The answer is imkei neder le Rabbi Yechon Anuri le Rabbi Akiva ki heichidim. In that case, Rabbi Yechon Anuri could answer Rabbi Akiva ki heichidim ahadu le Rabbi Lozer Chisma le Rabbi Lozer Ben Yaakov. The same argument that Rabbi Lozer Chisma used, that chametz pesach does have that chametz pesach is like truma tmeya because the kohen can get use out of it, because he can feed it to a dog or use it for firewood. Rabbi Yechon Anuri, if he actually held that way, could have answered Rabbi Akiva the same thing, but he didn't. Instead, when Rabbi Akiva pointed out that truma tmeya, at least you have a use, but chametz pesach you don't, and Rabbi Akiva goes on to compare it to berries and grapes, Rabbi Yechon Anuri doesn't answer. Why doesn't he answer? Because he doesn't hold that it's mutar b'hana. So he's in effect, so he's not answering because, yeah, Rabbi Akiva therefore has a good point. Rabbi Yechon Anuri can still stick to his opinion because he can say anyway, lafi midah mishalim. So in other words, he can tell Rabbi Akiva, this that you're bringing from truma tmeya or from berries and grapes is really not relevant anyway, because we don't really care whether the kohen actually has any use out of it. We just care lafi midah, and I say we go lafi midah, but he doesn't. Instead, if he held that you go lafi damim and that chametz pesach is mutar b'hana, then he would have used the same argument that Rabbi Lozer Chisma used on Amar Aleph to Rabbi Lozer Ben Yaakov, that he could feed it to a dog or burn it for firewood. So that's what tells Abaya. That's what tells Abaya that Rabbi Yechon Anuri does not hold like Rabbi Elazar Chisma and like Rabbi Yossi Aglivi. Rather, he agrees that Chometz Pesach is also b'hana like all the other Tanoim, and he's just arguing whether you pay lefi mido or lefi damim. Well, according to Rabbi Yechon Anuri, you are right. Right, so you have the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Akiva that you pay lefi damim, because we have the usual rule halacha k'Rabbi Akiva mechaveroi, that you when Rabbi Akiva is arguing with one individual tana, then you go according to him, which means, in other words, therefore the Rambam doesn't bring our Mishnah la halacha, because it comes out then that we're saying that our Mishnah that says that B'shoigig is having to pay and that B'shoigig is still having to pay would be according to Rabbi Yechon Anuri, because then we would say that you pay lafi midah. But if we say that you pay lafi damim, then Chametz Pesach has no damim, so there's none to pay. Right, that's what we're saying. Both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yechon Anuri hold that it's also b'hana. Rabbi Yechon Anuri is saying, I don't care whether it's also b'hana because we go according to midah. But Rabbi Akiva is saying we go according to damim. So according to Rabbi Akiva, our Mishnah wouldn't. You can't accept our Mishnah as halacha. Rabbi Elazar Chisma holds it's mutar b'hana. That's something else. Yeah. He holds like Rabbi Yossi Aglivi. Exactly. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Onward. Tana Rabbanan. It's interesting. The Gemara introduces this with. Where yet? Okay. There is actually no. It's later. Actually, it's later on. Later on, we have a Tana Rabbanan, which is actually introducing a Mishnah. Here it's a Braisa. Yeah. Tana Rabbanan. Ha'oichu kezayis truma mashalim keren v'chaimish. If a person eats a kezayis of truma, then he has to pay the keren v'chaimish, as we said before. Yeah, no, but forget about chametz. Here we're talking about a regular case. Person eats a kezayis of truma, b'shoigig, then he's paying the keren v'chaimish. That's the usual rule. Abba Shol says it's not that, when does he have to pay? Only if it has a shava pruta. Now does that mean that it has to be that he needs both? It needs to be that it's a kezayis and a shava pruta, according to Abba Shol, or is it enough that it's just a shava pruta, even though it's less than a kezayis? And Rashi explains, for example, in a year of famine, the prices are jacked up, so therefore you may well have that even less than a kezayis is worth a pruta. So we'll see that soon in the Gemara. So my time at the Tanakama, why does the Tanakama say it doesn't matter whether it's a Shavu Pruta, just matters whether it's a Kazayas? Because Omakrov Ishki Yecho Kodesh Vishgoga, the Pasuk says if a person eats Kodesh, which means Truma Vishogig, Vachila Bekazayas. As usual in the Torah, when it says something about eating, then it means a Kazayas. So therefore, he's not Chayev if it's less than a Kazayas. The Abba Shol my timer. Meanwhile, why does Abba Shol say that you need it to be worth a Pruta? Because Amakru v'nosan, because the pasuk continues that he has to give the kohen the payment. But in the sin, pachos mishava pruta, giving implies at least a shava pruta. Yeah, well, no, because by being a kaddish a woman, it doesn't use the expression v'nosan. No, by a woman that we say that we learn kicha mistei Ephron. Okay, maybe actually because it's Nasati Kesef Asad, it could be. Tosfos actually discusses over here that there are places in Shas where it seems that Vinosan applies even to something that's worth less than a Shava Prota. But Tosfos says, because in those cases you're not talking about Tashlumin. In other cases where it says Vinesina, you don't necessarily need a Shava Prota because you're not talking about Tashlumin. Here you're talking about Tashlumin. You are, after all, paying the Koyan for the Truma that you ate of his. So therefore, that tashlumin implies that it has to be at least a pruta, according to Abba Shol. Okay, so the question is, v'idach nami haksiv yoichal. Nu, what is Abba Shol doing with the word yoichal, which implies that it needs to be a kezayis? The answer is, ahu prat mamazik udasa. That doesn't come to tell us the size that's a kezayis. That comes to tell us the din that we mentioned on Amud Aleph, that if he's mazik the truma, then he's not paying the keren v'chaimish. For example, Rashi gave the example over there, he threw it into a river. Another example would be if he ate it in a way that harms his body. For example, he drank oil by itself, let's say, or whatever. Yeah. So then the kiyocho comes to exclude that. Betanakama hoksiv v'nosan. So prat mazik udosa. Betanakama hoksiv v'nosan. Okay, according to the Tanakama, what's he doing with the word v'nosan, which implies a shava pruta? The answer is, that the Tanakama says comes to teach us that you have to give the Kohen something which is roi to become Kodesh, as we said before, as opposed to when a person eats Trumas Chametz on Pesach, where then then you don't have to pay because it has the because it has no value right now, and there's nothing that's Rory Lias Kodesh. So then there's no Vinasa in effect. So actually, we're saying if you mafresh truma of chametz on Pesach, right? Then we're saying that the truma isn't even chal, right? In effect, that's what we're saying over here is that because you have to have davar haroy lias kodesh, and if you pay back the kohen during Pesach, it's not even roy lias kodesh. So therefore there's nothing doing. This part, by the way, is in parenthesis over here, and the reason is because the marshal. The Marshal takes it out over here. Never mind that. The main purpose of the words Vinasan Lakonas Akodesh is teaching us that we said before it has to be Dovah Haroy Lias Kodesh. Incidentally, it comes out from that Trumas Chametz Pesach. It's not that we're actually learning that directly from the Pasuk. That sort of comes out incidentally from the Limud. So therefore, that's why it's in parenthesis, because the Marshal holds it's not part of the Girsa of the Gemara. Okay. And actually, Tosfos points out that now we learn that concept from the words Es HaKodesh, but you still need the word Vinasan according to the Tanakhama, because if it only said Es HaKodesh, then it could mean, okay, you can't pay with money because money can't become truma, but you can pay with any kind of produce because any kind of produce could become truma. Therefore, the Vinasan teaches us that it has to be the same kind of produce as what you ate. So according to the Tanakhama, you don't have the word Vinasan available to teach you about Shava Prota because you need it to teach you that, Dean. Well, that may be, but that's, again, we're doing it Mishum Kapara. We're not doing it so much in order to, we're doing it partially in order to pay back the Koyan, but mainly it's a matter of Kapara. If he doesn't want it himself, then fine. That's what we said before. He can sell it to another Koyan. Okay. Tanan Rabbanan. We learn in a Braisa, and actually this is not a Braisa. This is actually a Mishnah in Masechta Terumah. So why is the Gemara introducing it with Tanan Rabbanan? I don't know. Usually Tanan Rabbanan is a Braisa. No, it's not that it doesn't fit, but the Mishnah should have said Tnan or Tnan Hossam or something instead of Tanan Rabbanan. Okay. Ha'oichel truma pachas mekazayis. If a person eats truma that less than a kazayis in size, mashalam as a keren, but in a mashalam as a chomish. Then the din is he has to pay the keren, but not the chomish. So we have to figure out, hey, chidomi, what's the scenario? If the truma is worth less than a shava prota, keren nami lo l'shalim, then he shouldn't be paying. Then he shouldn't have to pay the keren. Then he shouldn't have to pay the keren either. The id isbe shava prota chomish nami l'shalim. And if it's worth at least a shava prota, then he should be paying. Then he should be paying the chomish as well. The answer is la'olam de isbe shava prota. We are talking about whether it was worth at least a shava prota. Nevertheless, the Mishnah would be telling us, since it's not a kazayas in size, and after all, the Pasuk does say kiyochal, therefore the special din of the chomish doesn't apply. Therefore, mashalam is a keren, ve'ene mashalam is a chomish. So it would be like a regular case of paying, it would be like a regular case of paying for gezel, rather than the special case of paying for truma, where you're paying the chomish. So the Gemara says, amru rabbanan kameder papa. The word yochal was referring to that has to be at least a kazayas. We're saying. Right, so we're saying, in other words, that since it was since it was less than a kazayis, right? So therefore, so the key yochal doesn't apply because it's less than a kazayis. Therefore you don't have to pay the chomish because that din applies only when key yochal, and here there wasn't yochal because it was less than a kazayis. So amru rabbanan kameid rapapa. So the yeshivalite said that over to rapapa, and they said hodeloi ka abashol. It seems that mishnah that we just quoted is not like abashol. The e ka abashol ha omar kiven sheyesh b'shava pruta afal gav the less bekazayis. Didn't abashol say that as long as it's a shava pruta, even if it's not a kazayis in size, then he's chayev? So according to abashol, he should be paying the chomish as well. And yet the mishnah is telling us that not. So it seems that this mishnah is only according to the chachamim and not according to abashol. Rapapa answers them, no, afilutema abashol. You could even say that this Mishnah is according to abashol, because abashol tauti boy. You could say that abashol requires both. He requires that it's a kazayis and that it's a shava prota. Here it's one, but not the other, because it's less than a kazayis. So even abashol would agree that the special dinim of paying for truma don't apply to it. The problem with that is, or me boy abashol tauti, is that in fact the case that abashol requires both of them in order for the din of keren v'chomish to kick in? V'hotnan, we learn in a Mishnah, and here it's the other way around. It's actually a braisa, so it's a maybe the writers over here, maybe the people who were copying out the Gemara got mixed up. Yeah. Anyway, Vahotnan, Abashol Omer, so it's a braisa really, Abashol says, Es sheyesh b'shava pruta chayev v'tashlomin. When it has a shava pruta, then you chayev to pay. Es she'en b'shava pruta eni chayev v'tashlomin. If it's less than a pruta, then you're not chayev v'tashlomin. And tashlomin over here means the keren v'chomesh. Amru loy, and the chachamim answered Abba Shol, loy amru shava pruta elo le'inin me'ila bilvad. No, the whole concept of shava pruta, where there's a difference between worth a pruta or less, only applies regarding me'ila. Where by me'ila, it doesn't use the word achila, so therefore it just depends whether it's worth a pruta or not. Aval l'truma ain't a chayev at shehebe kazayis, but by truma you're only chayev if there's a kazayis. Now if Abba Shol holds that you need both for im isa, kivin sheyesh be kazayis mevayle. If Abba Shol held that you need both, then the chachamim should be using the expression kivin sheyesh be kazayis. Once it has a kazayis, that's already enough for us. It doesn't need to be a shava pruta because you only need that by me'ila. Instead, they're using the expression ad sheyehei bo kazayis, implying you Abba Shol would be mechayivim tashlomim if it's worth a pruta, even though it's less than a kazayis. We're saying that no, you have it backwards. It doesn't have to be worth a pruta, but it does have to be a kazayis. So we see, therefore, that Abba Shol doesn't hold you need both, because otherwise they would have phrased it differently. So tiyufta, so that's a stira to the papa's understanding that that Abba Shol requires both. Abba Shol, in fact, only requires it to be worth a pruta. So therefore, the original Mishnah that we said, the Mishnah that we quoted about ha'oichol truma pachas mekazayis, where we say they pays the keren, not the chaymish, the yeshiva light of Rapapa's yeshiva had said it's not like Abba Shol. So now we're saying that's correct. It's not like Abba Shol. Abba Shol would say that it's not a question whether it's worth more than a kazayis or not. It's a question that whether it's the size of a kazayis or not. It's a question of whether it's worth a pruta or not. Because Abba Shol wouldn't say you need both. He would say only that you need it to be worth a pruta, and the Chum disagree and say you only need it to be a kazayis. It comes out also, by the way, then it means that, on Mishnah, when we're being mechayiv and to pay during Pesach, also wouldn't be like Abba Shol, because if he's requiring it to be worth a pruta, then during Pesach, it's not worth a pruta. Unless, again, if you were to say maybe Abba Shol holds like Rabbi Yisrael Glili, then maybe, or like Rabbi Elazar Chisma, then yeah, but. Okay, so we'll continue tomorrow, Best Hashem, and discuss that we're actually going to see Rav Papa himself changed his mind, this that he explained, Abba Shol, as saying that you need both, and we just slugged him up. Rav Papa himself changed his mind, and how we see that he changed his mind is going to emerge from another discussion regarding Me'ila. So we'll take that up tomorrow, Baz Hashem, and we'll continue this discussion regarding and get into a general discussion about various dinim regarding Me'ila, which that discussion about Me'ila, and then eventually we're going to get back to Truma and talk about Truma Tmeya and talk about dinim of Truma Vatara for a bit, and all of that is going to get us till the next Mishnah. Yeah. And Flamed Hay. Shkoyach, everyone.